I have a brief moment of confession to share with you first. You know that I was a youth pastor for a number of years. One of the things that saddened me about coming here to Good News was the fact that I wasn't going to get to work with teenagers anymore. I had worked with teenagers for about 10 years, 20, 30, 40 hours a day, and I loved working with teenagers. And when the opportunity came to come to Good News, I was very excited about that opportunity, but the part of me that was sad was not getting to work with teenagers regularly. Then this fall, when we had some opportunities for some new people to step into some different ministries, the opportunity came, and it became apparent that it was a good time for me to step into our youth ministry here at our church. And I have enjoyed that very much, being able to work with teenagers. It's not the same as what I did in the past, but I've enjoyed that very much. And 2 weeks ago at our youth group, I was sharing with our students from 1 Timothy chapter 4. I shared with them this one verse that we're going to look at this morning, and I wanted to encourage them to know that in God's eyes, they are no small person. That when God looks at those who are young, He doesn't look at them as insignificant. And that's really what we're going to focus on this morning. God's call to encourage us, to encourage those who are young. And also God's call upon us to be reminded that that is our job to do as well. I've been thinking about different things that we see happen within the community. We see kids that can go around and go door to door on behalf of different like social causes, raising funds and awareness for different things like charities, like hospitals and different causes like that. And what I guess I'm reminded of when I think about that is that kids can prove to us over and over again that they can do incredible things. And this verse that we're going to look at this morning in Timothy, it is a verse that challenges us, I believe, to harness the energy that kids do, that youth do, that those who are young do, for the purposes of the kingdom of God. That's what we're going to look at this morning. And we're going to be reminded of God's call upon all of our lives to do just that. I was thinking also this week about people that I know who have had really hard hearts towards the gospel. I don't know if you know anybody who's got just a very hard heart when it comes to being challenged by the gospel. I was thinking of a girl that I worked with a number of years ago. She was in one of the youth groups that I worked in, and she was a friend of one of the families who came to the church. And she, after being a part of our youth group for a long time, she gave her heart to Christ. And after she gave her heart to Christ, her life changed significantly. She desired to be in God's Word more, to be a part of the community that the church was more, and she desired to serve more. She came from a home of a family who had one of those people who had that really hard heart. Her mom was a single parent, and her mom was somebody who was just the type of person that whenever somebody that was her peer approached her with the gospel, she was somebody not interested in knowing who Christ was. Well, her daughter grew up. Her daughter continued to grow in the church and in God's Word. And what the mom got to watch was the daughter's faith coming alive. And as a result of that young girl's faith coming alive, that mom who had that hard heart, her heart was softened as well. And she became open to the gospel. She too gave her heart to Christ. I guess I share that story just because the thing that stands out to me is that sometimes those who are young, they can do things for the kingdom of God that some of us who are older just can't. They have opportunities and things that are before them where they can be used by God in incredible ways. I came across a couple statistics. I'll share one right now. The statistic is that over 60% of those who take short-term mission trips, like what we're talking about Cassandra's doing, that 60% of those who do it every year are under the age of 18. I guess the picture that I'm trying to create here is that our youth can do amazing things for the kingdom of God. This morning I asked a couple of the kids who come to our youth group to do different things inside our service. Cody, he shared special music on the guitar. There was a couple girls that were greeters here this morning. It was my hope to remind them that they could actually do something inside the church service that was significant, and also to remind all of us of that same very thing. Maybe we need a reminder in that as well. I'll share one more statistic that kind of points a picture of what our mission is as a church, or at least part of what our mission is. It's the number of 80%. It's been said that somewhere 80, 90% of those who come to Christ while they're under the age of 16. I think that number tells us one more thing about those who are young. That those who are young, that they've got to be a part of what our mission field is. Not the only thing, but they've got to be at least one target that we have set aside as our mission field. Now this verse that we're looking at in Timothy, Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it reads this: "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. When I heard this verse for the first time, I was probably a teenager. And when I heard this verse, it was something that really stuck in my head. And there was times later in my life where I would lose confidence in my own abilities or in what I thought I was supposed to be doing. And I'd go back and I'd hear this verse, and this verse would remind me that, Mark, this is what God wants you to do. This isn't about you. This is about God. And there's been times in my life where I've thought, I'm too young to be a pastor. I'm too young to lead in communion, or I'm too young to preach. And I hear a verse like this even still today, and it reminds me that it's not about who I am. It's about what God is doing in my life. So this message this morning is just as important for me as I believe it is for all of us. As the young grow up to be the people that God has called them to be, that is what we're talking about this morning. And we're also talking about how God desires that we would come alongside those who are young and encourage them to be who God wants them to be. Let's pray. Dear Lord, this morning I pray that you would put it on all of our hearts to encourage those who are young. And I pray that those who are young would be encouraged. I pray that we would hear that in this verse this morning, that we would walk away challenged to be the person that you've called us to be. Amen. I can't imagine that there's a lot of people here that listen to the band Korn. There's a band named Korn, and they've got an album called The Untouchables. And on that album, they swear over 50 times, secular band. Their bass player, he was quoted as saying this. He said, sometimes that you're most creative when you're wrecked and when you're hurting. And he said that to describe the drunken condition that he would be in when they wrote songs. Their music has pondered and even challenged the existence of God. And Focus on the Family has this to say about this band. They said, don't let your kids feed on corn. Now, when I was a youth pastor, students would bring music like this on trips. They bring other sorts of good Christian music that I would describe as well. But they would bring music like this with. And my reaction was to tell them, hey, you know, this probably isn't the best thing for you to be bringing with. I'd encourage you to bring something else with. And my reaction was really that I wanted to encourage them to listen to good things. But my reaction was less concerned about the artist and the band and more concerned about protecting the kids that I worked with. Now, the guys in this band, Korn, they're not teenagers, but for a large part, they do represent what a lot of teenagers, I believe, do experience. Now, several years ago, that bass player that I quoted earlier, he left the band. And in a magazine, he was quoted as saying this for the reason why he left the band. He said, I wanted to do something with my money other than buy BMWs. He said, I've been selfish my whole life, and I wanted to give something back. Many media outlets, they said that the reason for his leaving the band was that he had come to faith in Christ, and that they found that that was in conflict with his life in the band. Now, his coming to faith wasn't something that I had guessed would have happened. When asked about dropping out of the band, he said, a lot of people think I'm crazy. I don't care. Now, for me, I guess I had low expectations of anything good ever coming out of that band. And I think that parallels what we're talking about this morning. Sometimes we have low expectations of anything good coming out of teenagers. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we see a different picture. We see how God has called us to look at those who are young. And you know what? It isn't how you or I perhaps would have looked at somebody who was in a band like this band Korn. It's with eyes of love and with eyes of value. 1 Timothy 4:11 says, command and teach these things. It then goes on and it develops a series of things to pursue and a series of things to avoid. And the first on that list is a call to value those in their youth. And then it follows up with instructions of how we can do this. When I was in seminary, they teach us to have something called a chair verse. A chair verse is something that you can stand on. Like, for example, when you talk about a subject like the Trinity, Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 to 17 is a chair passage because it teaches about how the Trinity all works together and how they are separate and how they function for the same purpose. It's a chair passage. Well, this verse that we're looking at this morning in Timothy, for me, this has been a chair passage in understanding God's eyes towards those who are young. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct and love and in faith and in purity. And it's why I hope this morning that we would look at this one verse and that from this one verse, we would build from it some things that are critical for us as we desire to be a church that reaches out to those who are young. Now, Timothy, he is who received this letter. And he wasn't a teenager when he received this letter, but he was considerably younger than his peers were. Today, as we look at this one verse, we're going to break it into three sections. First, we're going to hear about a call to encourage one who is young. Scripture says, let no one despise you for your youth. Then we're going to hear about another call, a call for us who are older to be role models, but set the believers an example. And then we're going to hear a third thing. We're going to hear the how to do it, those five different areas in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Let's talk about some background about this passage before we get any farther. This letter, it's written at the end of Paul's writings in a time where there's many shifting ideas about what faith is. And Paul knows that those ideas need to be straightened out. And central to Paul's solution to addressing those problems is the appointment of church leaders, especially ones that are qualified to address the heresies that have been spreading in the church. Now, it's in this book of Timothy that we get much of what we've come to know to base what we don't understand our officers of the church to be. We get our understanding of the elders. The elders were highly respected. They exercised a ruling function in the synagogues and in the churches. Well, Timothy, what we know about Timothy is he is at least in his mid-20s. He could have been in his mid-30s. He could have even been up to the age of 40 because the term youth applied to those that were up to the age of 40. It's believed by many that he's about 29. And the term youth, it was typically reserved to those who had not fulfilled their commitment to be in the military, which meant 40. Well, this is what we know also about Timothy. His appointment was a rare privilege in his culture. And even though Timothy is younger than those that he's advising, than the elders that he's advising, he is given the role of being a mature leader and to set an example for his community. Now, we as a church, we have one elder, and we're talking about the addition of possible elders sometime in the future. If we were to nominate somebody to be an elder who happened to be like 18, 19, 20 years old, according to what Paul is teaching here in Timothy, I don't think he would have blinked or even debated that question if they were too young, as long as they were mature, as long as they met the criteria for what a responsible person was. And that seems to be the heartbeat of Paul's message to Timothy. That's why he was able to give Timothy that approval. This seems to be one thing that we need to hear, that those who are young have value. The other side that we need to hear is that those who are young, they're going to need encouragement because they are young. When I do my study for my sermons, for these sermons, one scholar that I look at is a guy by the name of Lenski. He says that this portion of Scripture was here to encourage Timothy in the times when he'd be looked at as too young. And if Timothy was all timid about the fact that he was given this responsibility, the endorsement that Paul gives him, that would have given him a lot of weight and a lot of support for who he was. Now, we've got to admit, it does seem bizarre to picture a young person advising somebody who is considerably older than them. But in God's kingdom is upside down. His understanding of how this world operates is upside down from how we view the world. And in God's economy, this does make sense. So the thing that we maybe need to do is get our vision checked to get our vision aligned with God's perspective. Let's go on. Let's look at the first point this morning. The point that youth should be encouraged because they're young. You know, I've heard the question, when was it harder to be a teen? Was it harder to be a teen today, 10 years ago, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago? I don't know the answer to when it was hard to be a teen, when it was the hardest to be a teen. But what I do know is this, that it is hard to be a teen. And I've heard different folks say different answers to that question, but what we know is that teens need encouragement. Because everywhere we turn, we hear stories of teens who have their lives falling apart. Teens need encouragement. They are facing like tons of pressures, tons of temptations, and tons of uncertainty. And teens may never admit that they don't have all the answers, but our encouragement has got to be a part of what they need. Students, they need people to come alongside them to encourage them and to build relationships. And Paul had an incredible relationship with Timothy, and that was a part of the way that Paul encouraged him. Teens are hungry, I believe, for encouragement in a world that just looks at them as out-of-control objects, as just sources of revenue. I believe we have an opportunity. Better word, not an opportunity. We have a calling. I believe Scripture gives us a calling to let those who are young know that their value isn't in this temporal stuff, but that their value is in the things of God. Let's go on to the second part of this verse. There's a call to be a role model. Scripture says this, but set the believers in an example. I don't know if you remember this. I think when I was in high school, Charles Barkley declared that he wasn't a role model. I don't know if you remember that. But his comments set off a huge debate of whether adults are role models for those that are young or whether they aren't. And I land on the side that I believe that those who are older are role models for those that are young, and I would kind of guess that you would agree as well. Scripture teaches of the significance that somebody can have upon the life of those that are young. Matthew chapter 9, verse 42. If anyone causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone around his neck. Scripture teaches that we who have an influence on children, that is a significant thing. Fortunately, we don't see people who are just thinking like Charles Barkley does today. Charles Barkley was a great shooter, great rebounder, great defender. But there's a current NBA player that I like a lot better. I don't know if you know who Dwight Howard is. He's the guy who won the slam dunk competition a couple years ago. I think it was last year. He won the Superman cape when he did it. Dwight Howard says this. He said, "When I preach, that doesn't mean standing on a podium before a game and trying to tell everybody to follow Christ." His main purpose, he said, was to preach the word by living it. He was the number one pick in the NBA 5 years ago, and he is quite a basketball player as well. I'll throw out one more quote that connects with what we're talking about. This one's from Billy Graham. Billy Graham was talking about why those who are young come to his crusades. He said, "It's amazing to see how many young people are searching for something else and don't know what. They'll come to the meetings out of curiosity. They want to see someone who has believed it and lived it." People are noticing. Teens, those who are young, they're looking for those who already have faith, and they're looking to walk alongside them, and they're looking for people to share their lives in them. Here's the third part of the verse that we're going to talk about this morning. It's the how to do it part. Scripture gives us five answers, and we're going to look at each one of these five answers. So let's first talk about the first one of speech. Last week we talked specifically about the power that the tongue has, and in the book of James, we see some great insights into our tongues. And Scripture is clear in so many instances how the power of the tongue can hurt. Our speech reflects what's going on inside of our hearts. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says this, "Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak the truth, each one of you with his neighbor." Here's what we know. We're called to be people who speak words of hope and words of encouragement. We, the church, we have an excellent opportunity to be a light to our community and to the world by our choice of the words that we use. So as we look to model this to those that are young, let's consider the words that we use and let them be an example to those who are young. It's been, about 10 years since the school shooting in Columbine. And I'm guessing that many of you probably remember that event. 1 year before that, one of the victims of that tragedy, she wrote this in her journal. She said, "It is like I have a heavy heart and this burden upon my back. But I do not know what it is. Now that I have begun to walk my life, even my friends make fun of me. I know what they are thinking every time I make a decision to resist temptation and to follow God. They call me the preacher's church-going girl. I have no more personal friends at school, but you know what? I'm not going to apologize for speaking the name of Jesus. If my friends have to become my enemies, for me, then my best friend, Jesus, then that's fine with me. This young girl, she said this to the man who shot her. He said, "Do you believe in God?" And she said, "Yes, and so should you." I find those to be amazing words from a young girl who was tragically killed. And I believe she can be an example for us of the words that we can use towards one another. Here's the second area that Scripture speaks of. It's in our conduct. Scripture is quite clear with a lot of exhortations for godly living. And James writes this, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show it by his good behavior, his deeds, and the gentleness of wisdom." And Peter had much to say on the subject as well. "Like the Holy One who called you, be yourselves holy in all your behavior." Here's the third how to do it. The third how to do it is in love. Timothy was to be an example in love. And biblical love is far different from the emotional love that our culture calls love. True love involves self-sacrificing behavior on behalf of others, regardless of how one feels. Now, our culture doesn't say that. Our culture says, go get love however you want it, whenever you want it, on whatever terms that you have. Jesus said this about love. He said, "Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends." That is what love really is. It's not a love that says, "Hey, I'll give you love if you give me this." It's just a love that gives and gives and gives.
We have an excellent opportunity to show this love to those who are young. I'll encourage you to consider. Consider a number of different ways that you can show this love. Maybe it means by being a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it means by helping with some sort of like outreach here at church to those who are young. Maybe it means going to like, you've got a neighbor kid who's involved in sports or music or some program at school. Maybe it just means going and supporting them and letting them know that you care about them. There's a lot of other creative ways that you can show love to those that are young, and I'll encourage you to think about those. Here's the fourth way that Scripture teaches us. It's in our faith. When we live our faiths in the way that our verse has described, what we're really doing is we're modeling who Jesus is in our own life to those who are young. We're letting people see that something significant has happened in our lives that's changed our lives, and we're letting them see the gospel lived out. We're called to model our faith to others. There's a story that I want to share that really helps illustrate this idea of modeling your faith. One evening when the director of an inner city mission named Joe was delivering his evening evangelistic message to the crowd of many who were drunk men, many who were just not paying attention, there was not one man there who was paying attention. He knelt down in the center of the aisle and he cried and he began to pray and he prayed this. He prayed, "Oh God, make me like Joe. Make me like Joe. Make me like Joe." Well, the director who was giving that message, he leaned over to the man and he said, "Son, I think it would be better if you prayed, make me like Jesus." The man looked up with a tear in his eye, with this just puzzled look in his face, and just said, "Is he like Joe?" You see, when others see Jesus in us, that's what we're going after. That's how we model our faith. So let's be that light. Let's share what Jesus is doing so that they see Jesus inside of us. Here's the last one that Scripture gives. It's the call to be an example in purity. Timothy was to be an example in purity. And purity can speak to so many different things. But one of the core issues, I believe, that purity speaks to is that we are to keep our bodies as God's temple. And many scandals have occurred over affairs, and they've stained the reputations of many leaders inside the church. Not here, but inside the church at large. And what really matters, what Scripture teaches, is what matters is purity. And that's got to be one of the things that we desire to model to those who are young. And it's so important that we get this to those who are young. Because if we don't, if we try to fake it, they're just going to sniff it out because they're smarter than we probably think that they are. We can be, to those who are young, we can be an example of purity when we model that very thing. Chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, it is a great chapter on how Timothy was to serve as a leader amongst the church. The church was in danger of losing some of its identity. And Paul's task was to give good words to Timothy so that he could keep the church moving in the right direction. Now, I already shared with you, for me, this verse is particularly significant. I adopted, I think, basically as a life verse when I was in college because of that one word, youth, that just stood out to me. I think the lessons in this book, these are incredible lessons for all of us. So as you go here today, be reminded that we have a powerful calling to those who are young to reach out to them. We also have an encouragement to give, that to let youth know that they should be willing and enabled by God to step up to be who God has called them to be. We need to encourage them to be who God has called them to be. And our passage has given us five ways in which we can do that. I'll just share some practical ways as we close this morning, how we can live this out. Again, I already mentioned some different ways of how we can volunteer with youth and children, so consider that. Also, last week in Scripture and Prayer, we looked at Romans chapter 12. Take the beginning of Romans chapter 12 seriously. It calls for us to live our life as a living sacrifice. This can be a part of that. It also calls for us to not conform to the ways of this world. Also, look at some ways in which you can plug into this church. Maybe you've got some ideas about how we can reach out to those that are young. Encourage you in that. Encourage you to talk to us about that as well. I'll throw out one more way in which I believe Scripture teaches about how we can live this all out. It's this picture of Paul and Timothy. I love this picture of Paul and Timothy. Paul was the mentor who just came alongside and worked with Timothy. I want to ask you this. Look back. Who in your life has been that person in your life? Who has been a Paul to you? If you were the Timothy, who was the Paul for you? For me, my answer to that question is an assortment of people who have come alongside me and helped me to be who I am today. And I would guess that there has been somebody significant that's come in your life and been that person to you. Know that you can be that for somebody who's young. You can be the Paul to their Timothy. I think if we don't find more people being willing to be that Paul to that Timothy, we're going to find more of those who are young just walking around clueless about what life is all about. And that's the farthest thing from what God desires. In verse 11, Paul says this. He says, command and teach these things. Well, we looked at one verse out of five verses that follow up with that command. The rest of this chapter is just as useful as this one verse is as well. So be encouraged this morning. When you go here, know that we can never measure up to God's standard, that God has given us His Word as His perfect guide. And that guide describes the perfect way for us to follow after Him. But we're not perfect, so we're not going to get this right. So this morning, what we find that we need also is God's grace. And that is another great thing that we can model to those who are young. Sharing with them how God has restored us and how God is working in our life and redeeming us over and over again. What a powerful opportunity that we as a church have. Go here today knowing that God has redeemed us and given us an opportunity to model that to others. In God's eyes, we're all young. We're all His children. We know that that's what Scripture teaches. We know also that Scripture teaches us that we should invest our lives in others. One excellent way that just ties in with that I'll just share with you that I've had the privilege of investing my life in others is through a program called Operation Timothy. I don't know if you've heard of Operation Timothy, but it takes its very name from this relationship of Paul and Timothy. Two people are in the relationship. There's the Paul and there's the Timothy. And the Paul works with the Timothy and works through a series of workbooks, 24 weeks, and they meet together. They memorize Scripture together. They answer questions together. They do some homework outside, and they come back and they compare answers. And at the end of the 24 weeks, Timothy now knows what Paul knows. And Timothy becomes the Paul in the relationship to somebody else. And somebody else becomes his Timothy. And it's a recycling relationship in which one person disciples another. It's a great way to live this verse out. I've had the privilege of working with that with a number of young people. And I'd encourage anybody that would like to know more about it, talk to me. I can get you the material if you'd like to take somebody through it. Or if you'd like to go through it, I'll throw that out as well. Let's go away this morning encouraged to reach out to those that are young. Let's go away this morning having heard that we value them, that we know that Scripture teaches that they are so important to us.